Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2018 Eastock platform, and I'm very pleased to be joined by editor, actress and producer, Dunja Sichov. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, you hosted an event, actually an open lecture called Let's Play, A Journey into the Dynamics of Editing, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And I want to know a little bit more about that, because unfortunately I couldn't attend, I just got here. But the first thing, looking at your bio a little bit, I see the editor, actress and producer. And obviously there are roles that require kind of different skills. So I'm wondering, how did you kind of get started in the first place in the film industry? What was your entrance way?
At first I was an actress, a theater actress, so I didn't play in cinema. And then I discovered, completely by chance, I discovered editing. And I was in shock. I wanted to do it. It really looked like music, and I was doing a bit of music on my computer. So it was like doing music on the computer, but with images. So I really liked it. My father is a photographer, so maybe I was very sensitive to the picture. So I decided to... I didn't want to stop acting in theater, so I decided to make... a school for that, and at the same time there was a wild casting on MySpace for a film, a feature, and they were looking for either musicians who could act or actors who could play music for to play a band, and I got one of the main parts. So I played in this movie. But I still did the school after that of editing because I really liked it. So I went into the cinema by these both sides.
Well, what's interesting to me is that you started with theater,
yes, in
acting, and then you started in cinema with the most cinematic of all things, editing, because, you know, montage and all the theories of montage. So is there anything in particular that attracted you about editing on an artistic front?
The rhythm, the breathing, the also telling stories, and then little by little also working with interesting people, creative people. That's what I like. And also when I was acting in theater, what I really liked is the encounter with a director and someone who has a very strong imagination, very strong universe, and in which I could come with my own universe, but still. Adapt myself, being still myself, but adapt myself to this new way of breathing life and emotions and
So speaking in terms of the way you like to work, I mean, do you like to work closely with the director?
With trust. Yes, that's what I said in the editing room, and as an actor, as anyone, for me the most important is trust. If you don't have this, it's very hard to spend 3 or 4 months in a dark room fighting each other or judging an idea before experimenting it. So it has to be playful. It has to be sometimes tough, of course, but there need to be trust, I think.
How do you know that there's a trust? Do you know right away?
Quite quickly.
Yeah, it's just a gut feeling.
Yeah, but it's the same in front. I mean, there are some people who are just naturally almost defensive. Can I say that?
Yeah.
And it's all about how you can make them feel at ease. Mm. So that's also interesting because that's something I like to do. So... yeah, it's being, I was saying, being adaptive is my favorite sport. So I was born as a stateless refugee in France. So maybe, and I remember the day when I became French. I was 5 or 6 years old. And so maybe it's this thing about being adaptive.
Just to kind of, sometimes you have to make compromises. I'm saying as well, because... Maybe what I picture as well sometimes is the work of an editor is sitting in front of a computer, but especially if you're or whatever or the Steinbeck when you know, I'm sure that it also entails a lot of conversations over coffee or maybe just talking to try and understand what this part is, you know. Sometimes does that happen too?
It depends on the project. Maybe in the beginning, yes. In order to always understand this question of understanding what is important for the director.
Yeah.
So the first days are very important, because when we're watching the footage and taking notes, and I'm trying to understand what the director is sensible to. And try to see through his eyes and like a character. So, it can take a while, but in the end, it's very rare when you don't have the trust of someone. And if it happens, it means just that it's his way or her way of working, and you need to accept this as well.
But what about this? So. The event was called Let's Play. Mm. Is that a title that you
yes.
chose, and why?
Yes. There was another title that was very good, but that was more serious. And playfulness is really something with the editing, because editing is not theory. You cannot know in advance what is going to happen on the screen when you are putting some sequences together. You just don't know. With the same sequence, absolutely the same sequences. I remember on a shooting and it happens all the time. You take the same sequences and you have a romantic US comedy. You take the same sequences and put them in another order, and you have a heavy psychological familial drama, and nothing changed but the order, and you could have never guessed that it would give this result. So it's all about, what if we do that? Okay, let's try. Let's try and watch. And let's be surprised by the film. I often say that the film edits itself, that it will tell you that it likes this or it dislikes this.
But it's interesting that you mention Hollywood conventions, because then is that sort of a foundation, in a way, in a sense, in terms of editing? Is that usually in the back of your mind, like, yes, this is the straightforward way of doing it, but then we can also try other things?
You can have 15 good films out of the same footage.
Uh-huh.
They will be all very different. The most important is to know which one you like the most as a director. So it's all about tastes. It's just taste. There is no good or bad choice. There is no. It's just what you are stimulated by, and what turns you on and what turns you off. That's it.
Is that true for both fiction and documentary?
Absolutely, and documentary maybe even more. Or I don't know. I don't want to make any comparison, but you can build up so many different films. You take three different editors, you have three different films, and that's the good part. It's, for me, it's the encounter between three entities: the director, the editor, and the film, which is an entity and which will tell you when it gets boring, when it's funny, when it's, and then you have to pick what you like when you like.
Yeah, because then, you know, you have the material that you can work for has already been shot. So there's that too.
There's nothing else. But that's a good thing also, because I always think that creativity needs boundaries. Mm-hmm. That if I go into a store and that I'm told that I can take everything, it doesn't interest me. What is interesting is if I'm told you can pick up three things. And now I can play, now I can think, now I can build up stories.
I could just imagine, you know, going back home maybe to sleep, or and you thinking of, you know, oh, maybe we can cut it that way. So is that sort of a part of the process too? Like when you're a part of the project, it really takes over a big, large part of your life.
Yeah, you dream a lot about the film. You find solutions in your dreams that absolutely don't work when you're awake, or even in the evening you can find just before the end of the day you find a really good idea and you do it, and then you come back at 9 o'clock on the next day and it's just crap. It happens all the time.
What about this? What about you're finished a project and then do you still think about it? Do you still think maybe I should have cut it that way? Or once the director is happy, that's it. Move on to the next one.
I have some regrets. I also always have one or two regrets on the film because it's not my film. And so there are things that I would have done differently. It doesn't mean I don't like the film, on the contrary, but it's just small sorrows, small losses. It's the same for the director. It's even worse, I think, because he needs to combine. It's always a question of time, money, and pleasure. How much time you have, how much money you have to do the film, and how much pleasure you can take out of it. So it's all dealing with the director's losses, my losses, the producer's losses. It's all regrets, regrets, regrets. But in the end, the film is there, and every time I watch one film that I edited, I burst in tears because it's intense. It's like your baby. It's
You know, it's a big part of your life. I'm aware of time, so I am running out of it. In fact, I have run out of it. But it's a really interesting conversation. And one other thing that I wanted to touch on was that obviously editing is also a very technical work. And I realized that more and more technology is very difficult to keep up with. All the technological developments. Now, do you feel that it's part of being an editor to keep up with whatever innovations are around, whatever has been made new that you can use?
On one hand, a good editor is not someone who necessarily knows all the technicity of the technique side of the work, because it's not making a good cut. It's really about building up a story. Even if it's thin, still, it's just how you tell a story. On the other hand, it's really time sparing, knowing the technology, because you know that there is some footage that you think you cannot use that you can use thanks to the new technology. So that might be useful because you watch the footage in another way, more open. And also, yes, it's just that when you know the new shortcuts, then you just go faster. So it's the geek side of the of this work, but I like it as well. So,
Essentially, though, what really matters is that you can play. You don't lose the pleasure in playing.
Yes, because sometimes I'm asked, how do you manage to do so many different things? Because I have my own projects as a director as well. And I always say that when I act or where even producing, I give a lot of energy, but it gives me so much energy to see the film and to see it become lively and funny or disturbing, but that something happens more than what we see and what we hear when it's not just what you the picture and the sound, but there is also something else that you can perceive that is maybe your imagination or maybe something, I don't know, but something reacts and everybody feels it.
Yes.
That gives a lot of energy, and that's playful.
Well, you're very kind for talking to us and taking the time to talk to us. You mentioned that this is your first time in Prague, but even just being at the ESTOC platform, what was the reaction after the lecture like? What were the questions like? Was it a good atmosphere?
Oh, it was very warm. I felt very grateful because a lot of people felt grateful and were coming to tell me that that after the session, they wanted to create. they were all creative, and that's the best thing I could hear, because I remember I saw a masterclass of Xavier Dolan in France, and he was talking about for 2 hours with someone, and I had the same feeling at the end. I felt this burning feeling of need to create and do something with everything, and so I could, I don't know, I had the feeling that I had the same response, and that's I think it's the best one. At least that's the one I wish for myself, so I wish it for the others.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.